The court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer this morning to do our opening prayer? Any volunteers out there?
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. If you would step to the podium so people that are listening online can hear you, please.
Dear Lord, we come to you today and we ask your blessings on this day, Kaylin, and this court. We thank you, Jesus, that we are here to celebrate her work. We ask you that you will bless us with wisdom, and we thank you for our grace. Just bless us today and thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, let the record reflect that all members of court are present today. Motion to approve our court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Under proclamations and resolutions, Montgomery County Historical Commission, Mr. Forrester.
Thank you. Judge Doyle and Commissioners, on behalf of the Montgomery County Historical Commission, I'm pleased to recognize the lady who will receive the very first William Harley Gandy Distinguished Service Award. Very, very briefly, this is an award that was just created this past year by our Historical Commission to recognize those individuals or organizations or companies that have distinguished themselves in the preservation and advancement of the history of Montgomery County. And the background on this was that simply there are people in this county, and some of us know them, sometimes they're unsung heroes, that do so much to help us preserve our county's history. They're not a member necessarily of any organization, but they have taken upon themselves to preserve that history. One such individual is Kay Dawes. Ms. Kay Dawes serves as a member of the East Montgomery County Historical Commission. She has distinguished herself as writing a number of different books on the old, now gone, sawmill community of Fostoria in East Montgomery County. Splendora, she's working on books on Grangerland, New Caney, Porter, along with many cemetery histories and family histories. And she's collected on her own thousands of photographs of individuals and locations in East Montgomery County, families in East Montgomery County. So I can't think of anybody that's better deserving of this very first Distinguished Service Award than Ms. Kay Dawes. And I'm going to ask Kay to step up here. And also, I'm going to ask the president of the East Montgomery County Historical Commission, Mr. Jerry Gay, to step up here. And Kay, I know you've got a few remarks to make, but on behalf of the Montgomery County Historical Commission, and I believe on behalf of the Montgomery County and its Commissioners Court, I want to thank you for what you have done over the many, many years to serve our community, our county, and the state of Texas. And so it's my pleasure to give you this award, the William Harley Distinguished Service Award. Now, let me just tell you that William Harley Gandy was the very first chairman of the Montgomery County Historical Commission, and he has written the definitive book back in 1952 on Montgomery County. There's never been a book more thorough, more researched than his treatise on Montgomery County history, from which many other historical books and biographies have been written. So it's an honor that he would be recognized here. I was hoping that Martha Gandy, his wife, could be here. He passed away several years ago, but because of her health, she couldn't be here. But nonetheless, we're proud to give you this, Kay Dawes, in recognition of the service you have done to Montgomery County by all of your wonderful research, which keeps going on. And Jerry Gay is here to present you some flowers as well on behalf of the Commission and the East Montgomery County Historical Society.
And my daughter has some, too.
All right. And her husband, Don. And could I ask the Commissioner Clark, since this is Precinct 4, and Judge Doyle, if you'd join us down here for a quick photo op. I know you've got a long agenda, so I appreciate the Commissioners' Court accommodating us this morning. You can sit down or stand here, whichever you wish to do. All right. Get you in here.
We'll do it this way. Real fast.
Hey, do you have any remarks to make before we conclude?
I have, yeah. I sure will.
I'm gonna step out here.
I think I'll turn around this way. There is an old genealogy poem that mentions that all families have in their tribe a storyteller that is called by their genes to keep the story alive of the family, to put flesh on their bones. And I consider that I am one of the called to do that. I stand before you today, the proud granddaughter, the third great-granddaughter of John Francis Cherish, veteran of the Battle of San Jacinto, and his widow Bathsheba. They came to Texas in 1833. I'm the second great-granddaughter of Kyle Grundy Needham, a veteran of the Civil War, and his widow, Samantha Morelda Chairs. They came to Montgomery County in 1860. I'm the great-granddaughter of Alfred Rudolph Mayer, who was a first-generation American of Hungarian descent. And I am the granddaughter of Charlie Lewis Mayer, who were early pioneers, and his wife, Ethel Ivy West, of the Westville folk. And I am the daughter of Earl Mayer and Fern Welburn, both New Caney graduates. I'm the mother of two wonderful children, Robbie and Kristen, and the nan to my precious Hunter, my grandson. My husband of 19 years, Don Mead, gives me the space to be me, and when I'm in full book mode, he cooks, cleans, washes, does everything, buys groceries, everything for me, and he puts up with my OCD, so that's a feat within itself. I'm humbled and almost speechless to be here today to be given this award, and anybody that knows me knows that you have to emphasize the almost, because I'm never speechless. This is even more remarkable because this girl took the position on my debate team that history should not be a required subject. And my debate coach made me learn both viewpoints, and it was a life-altering moment. From at that moment on, then I realized how important history was and how we're doomed to repeat the mistakes of history unless we learn them. I was first introduced to William Harley Gandy on my first foray into research about Montgomery County history. I went to Clayton Library and was confronted with all of his work. And we are all indebted to him for his original body of work, which was amazing. I never dreamed that I would be mentioned in the same sentence as William Harley Gandy, much less have the very first award given in his honor. Sincere thankfulness goes to my Lord for bringing me through breast cancer victoriously. And when I told my oncologist, or she told me, "Kay, you have breast cancer." And I said, "Well, we have to fix this because I've got 5 books to write." And she said, "Do you fully understand what I'm telling you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, and I hope you fully understand the importance of what my mission is." I said, "Because that's going to keep me alive." There's many people that supported me and aided me through where I am today. My father left me the first donation or the first funds for my first computer, for my first genealogy program, all of those kinds of things. And he also tasked me with finding about his roots and how many of them had died from lung cancer. And so that journey took me all the way back to Prussia, which was pretty enlightening. And I want to thank my Eastern Government County Historical Society and Jerry Gay for funding my research trips, my research sites, my newspaper archive sites, and almost anything else I can think of that I need, which has enabled me to do a lot of what I do today. And I have a person I have to thank. He is a really good friend of mine. He lives in Arkansas, Nate Parrish, and words could never express what he does for me as far as with me, with my research. Together, our combination, we make each other better researchers. So. And then Barbara Hamilton from our Historical Society, she reins in my verbosity when I get carried away and she proofreads my material. I want to thank all of y'all that are here today, and I want you to know that I could not be where I am if it weren't for the generosity of all the families that have opened up their family Bibles, their homes, their family stories, their pictures, in order for me to have amassed almost 9,000 pictures. My grandmother used to say to me all the time, I have a picture in my mind's eye of your daddy and his cousin, Bull Silas, riding across Boggy Prairie. And I was so frustrated because I wanted to see that picture. And finally, I told her, I said, when I have grandbabies, I'm going to show them the pictures in my mind's eye. So in the process, I've collected the 9,000 pictures that I have. And I even have one of Daddy and his cousin riding across Boggy Prairie on their horses. So I want to express my sincere appreciation for being given this award. I'm just completely honored. All of you be safe on your travel home today.
I realize that I'm taking more time than I should, but we've got a lady here today that needs to be recognized because she seldom makes it to a commissioner's court meeting. And we're talking about Gertie Spencer. Gertie, if you would stand up. Spencer, if I memory serves me correct, served as the chairman of the Montgomery County Historical Commission for 27 years. And prior to that, she served for many years on the Historical Commission. She was instrumental, very instrumental, along with her husband James, in starting the Heritage Museum for Montgomery County. So every chance I get to recognize her for what she's done for our county over the last 30 plus years, needs to be heralded. So I thank you again for your time today.
Larry, thank you for all your efforts. Ms. Dawes, congratulations. Ms. Spencer, thank you for all that you've done too. Thank you very much. All right, item number 8, A and B we can do together. Commissioners would entertain a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated February 14th and a special session dated February 14th.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Commissioners, under consent, I only have one item that I need to move unless there are others that you guys would like to pull forward. On page 7 and 8, item 9I, 2 and 3, I'd like to pull forward to the open agenda. Other than that, that's the only changes I have on consent.
And Judge, I'd like to move forward 9A4.
9A4.
Under the auditor.
Okay.
Any others?
All right. We'd entertain a motion on the consent agenda.
Move. With changes.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 9A4.
Yes, that is the auditor, Ms.
On there,
an item to create a budget committee comprised of Commissioner Metter, yourself, and Judge Doyle, correct?
That's right.
Last time in court, I think we had a pretty robust discussion about the budget process and how we've done it in the past. And so I'd like to throw out an idea of, instead of having a single committee that meets in the auditor's office, that we take the approach of having the budget committee run by the entire court in open court and talk to each department one at a time, if that's what we need to do, and go line by line through the each item of the budget here in open.
That's what budget hearings are for.
I don't think we do that during the budget hearings. I think the appropriate place for this budget review committee to be held would be right here in open court.
I don't agree with that. I mean, it's a working committee. We're trying to set forth some kind of ideas about departments and preparing their budget, and I don't think it needs to be done in live court.
I've never been on the budget committee, but do you meet with department heads and go over their budget line?
Occasionally, we do. We look at a lot of what the potential revenues are, what departments have done in the past. We do talk to some department heads on occasion. But that's what we do in open budget hearings, talk to department heads.
Do we consider bringing on any type of citizens to the committee or any type of, you know, I'm talking about, you know, somebody with some CPA background or budgeting background or something that you bring into the process, maybe for, you know, these times, more transparency, and I don't know, I just...
I know for the past 2 years, the Budget Committee's been comprised of Commissioners Nowak and Judge Doyle. In those years, some of the things that we discussed in those meetings were more big-picture things. When we bring you a recommended budget, we have to have some kind of an idea of what to put in it. So we've tried to receive some feedback on some things that impact all departments, not exclusively, but primarily. So things like the retirement rate, mm-hmm. which we've received feedback from just two members of the court, and then we've brought it to the court with a recommendation on what to do with our retirement rate so we would know what to build into our budget document. Those things would be very cumbersome to try to do that final week whenever we're actually having those budget hearings. I know we have met with some department heads in the past. It wasn't necessarily about smaller ticket items in their budgets. It was more about where are you today? It might be things with building maintenance, and do their efforts coordinate with what's going on in the county? It's at the discretion of the commissioner's court if you want a budget committee at all, and if so, how you want it to operate. That's just a little bit of background on how it's happened in the past.
This committee does some prep work for the budget hearings, but we don't sit down and try to put the budget together. And that's what Phyllis does.
During the budget hearings, we could go line by line. I mean, we've done it before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's an option for the open budget workshop.
Maybe in the short time I've been here in the past, you know, I have seen budget committees function and stuff like that, but really never see anything until budget time. So, I mean, I would be in hopes if we're going to have this budget committee, we're going to move forward the way it is, that we could come back as we progress. If we've met with two departments, the next commissioner's court meeting, could we maybe
get a report
and get a, you know,
yeah, we can bring some information as we go through it, because a lot of things that we'll look at is just like Phyllis just said, how we're going to fund retirement, how are we going to fund some of our major issues, what are we going to be looking at this year in terms of capital projects, that kind of thing.
I think that'll make things run a lot smoother than try to press it all into 1 week if we could come back and have some open discussion about...
Phyllis, you want to bring some updates to court out of our budget committee meeting?
Certainly, and I know that's something that I've discussed already with a couple of members of the commissioner's court, is that this year there seems to be a lot of interest in reports that may or may not provide the information that you think they're going to provide. And so what I would do is bring those reports to the commissioner's court, maybe with a little bit of explanation on what that report is and what it tells you a little bit about. And so we've already started preparing that for the next commissioner's court date. I know I discussed that with Commissioner Nowak. I believe it was just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly we can do that. I know there are some counties that don't have, and I believe this year you've already set your notice, but there are counties that don't have their budget hearings all in 1 week. They might have a series of departments throughout the course of the earlier part of the year where just a couple come on any particular given commissioner's court date or for workshops, and we haven't published that. I would certainly need to talk to the county attorney's office before we would change our process on that, but to do it all in 1 week isn't necessarily something you have to do. It might be something you have to do this year.
And especially if we're going to go department by department, kind of line by line, we might want to seriously think about doing that instead of trying to have just 1 week start, you know, into March.
I'd like to do them all at one time, but, you know, a lot of them we go through, we may not even hear their budgets if they're not asking for changes or if they're taking your recommended budget.
Correct.
And I know it's a challenge, the timing of it. You know, we've talked before about we ask departments in March what they're going to need 18 months from now. The earlier we push that up, it does get a little bit more challenging for them. We see many times they bring things the week of budget hearings, and, you know, we ask for finalized documents back in April. That's just because they get more information. They find out about grants or programs that they may want to enact that may be beneficial.
Well,
The purpose for me bringing this forward is just if we want to have different results of the budget committee and on the 2018 fiscal year budget, we need to be looking at doing things a little bit more differently. I think the best way to do that would be here in open court where we can talk with the department heads about their budgets, what they've used in the past, what they really need going forward. If the court doesn't want to do that, you know, I understand. I'm going to make a motion that we have the review, the budget committee held here in open court. That's my motion. Okay.
I'd like to amend the original motion to include that, and it's a hybrid of what you're talking about, Commissioner Nowak. I mean, to bring everything in 1 week and try to discuss, we have some of these department heads come up and we start a deliberation over what they're going to get, what they're not going to get. And sometimes, if they just had a little time to get some backup, we might feel differently about it. And I think if we start this process for the Budget Review Committee, and as these meetings are held, we come back and we have that discussion in open court. Phyllis brings back a report, and we may end up finding something we can cut out of it, but I think it needs to be held. So my motion would be to move forward the Budget Committee with the understanding that as these meetings are held, the following Commissioner's Court date, we'll come back and have a review of the findings of the committee.
I need to make a comment about that. You said that the department heads may not have time to get their backup. If she sends out a budget packet in March and we don't have our budget here is till July. That's plenty of time to get their backup together.
I would agree, but I'm just saying we've seen some cases where, in budget hearings, where, you know, if we would have had some different information, we might have made a different decision.
Well, it'd be incumbent upon those department heads to come visit with you and express their concerns.
Yeah.
I still think that this budget committee does a good job at some overview of the budget, and then and during budget hearings, we'll look at those individual department budgets, and we can look at them line by line. We've done it in the past, Commissioner, like you said.
I think we can look at it line by line, but it's going to take more than a week.
I agree.
Well, there's a
that's
lot
what we're going to do.
There's a lot of departments. Phyllis and I were talking at last budget, about the first budget meeting. A lot of departments don't have any money to give up. There's no use going line by line, unless they have.
They're going to cut personnel.
Openings that have been there for 2 years or whatever, and we're going to look at those. But a lot of them don't have any money. You know, they got, you take out personnel-related expenses out of their budget, and they've got very little bit left just to buy a pencil and paper and whatever they got to buy, pay for their copy machine and those sorts of things. But a whole lot of budgets don't have anything to take.
No,
unless you cut people.
A lot of them have very small operational budgets, but we need to really delve into these departments, and are they staffed adequately? You have an organization as big as ours, there are times when you need to just step back and do a fresh review of each and every department and find out, do they have the staff they need? We may find some need to be, may need more staff and some may not.
I've got an open position in my office that I'm considering filling to spend most of the year looking at exactly that with the auditor's office. We have a motion. We have a
Jim,
second.
Jim, what's the motion going to be now?
Motion that we move forward with. Make a motion we move forward the budget committee as discussed with the one.
As discussed, you're talking about in open court?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I don't guess I understand.
I'm not sure.
You're saying after we have a budget meeting, which will be in a month, whatever.
Right.
Phyllis will bring a report of what we said in that budget meeting to open
right,
court.
Right, we'll be able, yes. Yeah. We'll have open discussion about the findings as we go.
But you're not talking about having budget committee meetings in open court.
No. I'm not for that.
And then
you're talking about continuing our budget committee as proposed, but bringing those findings to court to be discussed.
As the meetings have taken place, a report will be brought back to court, and we'll discuss all of that. And I think, I don't think we need to preclude somebody just because, and I understand what you're saying, Commissioner Mayor. I can give several instances where we do have departments that don't have any money, and I know for a fact. But I still think we need to look at
every department, every line.
If you've got somebody that you've got three that come in and y'all are going to make, recommend we make so many cuts, and you've got one or two that just said we're going to stay with the recommended budget, I don't think we need to. Mm-hmm. I think we need to at least have looked at that. Not just say, hey.
And you'll have a copy of that budget long in advance that you can look through at any time.
Okay.
And that's for budget hearings. in July. But as far as, I mean, a pretty short report about our first meeting, but Phil, if that's okay with you, you said you need to talk to the county attorney's office about it.
I don't need to talk to the county attorney's office about bringing reports to the commissioner's court.
Okay.
The original proposal was that we might start the budget hearings earlier in the year and space them out over the course of several different commissioner's court dates or public hearings. That I would need to talk to the county attorney's office about.
I don't think we can do that since we've posted it, but we can still bring these reports to give the commissioners as much information as they can have.
Yeah, we used to do it in a week.
I think as long as we make proper notice, Amy, that we're going to be discussing these items in the report, and maybe we don't have to make a decision, but we can certainly discuss the...
Phyllis should be able to bring you reports of, if that's all that the court is talking about right now, is bringing information back to court and discussing it in open court, that's fine.
Yeah, one of the reports I think Phyllis will bring next time is goes back, 5 years, showing unexpended budgets for every department throughout the county.
And there are notice requirements for changing budget hearings, and we can look at those, but I'm pretty confident in that if we were wanted to change those, we could do that. We would just need to get on that right now. If we're going to change those
bringing these reports back, I think, would be a benefit.
Okay. Well, I'll second Jim's motion. At least we'll be able to bring that information forward and discuss it publicly.
For clarity, then, the motion is to continue the budget committee as it is now, but bringing reports to the court throughout the year before budget hearings. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. You'll bring them each week at the court after the budget committee meeting occurs.
As long as we have time to get it published,
right.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a week lag in there for notice, et cetera.
And you've been on that committee. You know, a lot of those issues are not, I mean, they're not big issues, but they're things that we need to look at in the overall budget, not independent departments. So.
Okay.
The timing now.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, on page 7 and 8, we have two items that there was a little bit of question about. BD, you want to address those? It's two pieces of right-of-way that are being purchased by the county for the toll road authority. Is that my understanding?
Excuse me. Essentially, Judge, yes. Items 9, 1, 2, and 3 deal with a undivided interest in a tract to be used for detention requirements. You might recall a couple of months ago there's revision to the detention requirements for the 249
right.
tollway.
Right.
That
save
would
us
save
about
significant
four,
funds.
$5 million to change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. As part of that plan, additional right-of-way needs to be required or right-of-way for this detention requirements. We've identified a tract that is owned in part by Tomball Tax Trust and in part by Tomball ISD and then in part by some numerous other heirs of a deceased person.
Mm-hmm.
And items 9I, 2, and 3 deal with going forward to purchase those undivided interest from the Tomball Tax Trust and the Tomball ISD, the district itself. With regard to, the funding source should be the same for 2 and 3, same as was mentioned in item 2. It says funding from the Toll Road Authority is actually, and Phyllis can correct me on this if I'm incorrect, is actually county money just designated for the Toll Road Authority. It's not Toll Road Authority funds or funds have been transferred to the Toll Road Authority. So it's still county money. All of the other right-of-way for SH-249 has been acquired in the county name. We anticipate acquiring this detention facility property in the county name as well. So it still is county funds with regard to the agenda item. It may be unclear.
Do you have a line item, Phyllis, that we're purchasing those items for the Toll Road Authority out of that to be reimbursed by the Toll Road Authority?
Sure. So if you'll recall, several years ago, the county entered into two loan agreements with the Toll Road Authority. One was for $500,000 and another was for $10 million. For practical purposes, the county has a disbursement fund where all funds, where any bill that the county pays for any entity comes from the Montgomery County Disbursement Fund.
Mm-hmm.
There are then a series of journal entries and transfers that get funding where they need to be. But it is accounted for in the books of the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. It's funding that came from Montgomery County originally through that loan agreement.
Okay. So that would be the funding source for these two items.
BD, but why was there no backup included in this so we would know what this was before now?
One, I thought there was backup, but it is the form for a purchase and a form for a bid amount.
Well, we've already approved this.
Yeah,
our court, didn't we?
No, this is a new potential transaction where, again, we're potentially acquiring property for because of the redesign of the detention facilities.
But what's different about the way we're acquiring it? Anything?
No.
I'm not sure why we had that. We had one under the total.
Yeah, Commissioner, I apologize. I did think there was backup that was uploaded with it. But, you know, again, that's one reason we send out those memos, so that if you have a question, we can furnish it to you.
Okay.
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I oppose.
Oppose.
Right. Motion carries 3-2. All right. Next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. And before we get into citizens' comments, I'd like to recognize our CISD board president, Melanie Bush. Melanie, would you like to make a comment this morning?
Thank you for being here.
Thank you all. Thank you, Judge Doyle. Thank you, Commissioners Metter, Riley, Nowak, and Clark. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Regarding your resolution to the state legislature on school finance, I think all residents, and I think we would all agree, appreciate every government leader's efforts to encourage tax relief. I think we're all feeling overburdened by that. As each of you know, CISD and the county have worked and continue to work together, even just this month, on things like JJAEP, the Juvenile Detention Center, school zone flashing lights, and other road issues, and many, many other issues. Our enrollment since 2010 has increased by 20% in CISD alone. Our state funding, however, has decreased by 12%. We've lowered the tax rate in that same time frame from 1.295 to 1.28. Thankfully, CISD is a very fiscally conservative district, being the first government entity and still the only school district to be awarded 3 transparency stars for our fiscal responsibility. While your resolution reads that as an attempt to get the state legislature to help fund public education, which is so desperately needed, and to hopefully get our districts to be able to lower their tax rate, it's a fine line between collaboration and interfering in other jurisdictions. And I appreciate that we've always worked together. I ask that we all continue that and continue to collaborate as we move forward in this legislative session. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. All right. Under citizens' comments, we have 2 people that have signed up to speak on items that are on today's agenda. For those that would like to speak, this will concern items that are listed on today's agenda. Let me read this brief comment. We will now invite the public for comment on items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to department heads or elected officials, and the Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. So with 2 people signed up, first, we have Mr. Bill O'Sullivan.
Good morning. Bill O'Sullivan, Wilderness, Texas, Precinct 3. I stand up here because I stood up here 2 weeks ago, and it was about the same thing, which is basically the seeming consolidation that's taking place within the Commissioner's Court. Of concentration of power in the judge's position. Now, I know that you can talk about efficiency and all the rest, but we're a representative republic, and that by nature is going to be messy. because you got to address the needs of a lot of people, and the representatives are there to be represented of the people that they represent. So, and saw this thing on the budget committee. The pre-budget committee, if you will, I don't quite understand what they're meeting for, and unless it's something which is new, which they're going to screen and make a report, the day-to-day running of the budget should come out of the budget committee itself, which meets publicly. But if you're screening some new items, and they should be identified and sent to that committee to take a look at, so that people will understand it and they don't all have to look into it at the same time, but it's new. But your day-to-day stuff, you shouldn't even talk about in that committee. Or add another person to it, and it has to be an open court. You know, a lot of people won't have a tendency to show up, other than people like me. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of turmoil going on, particularly with the events in the next 4 weeks. And now's not the time to be circling the wagons. Now's the time to be open. So I would appreciate if you would take that in consideration, and the people's representatives for each precinct be involved in all the decisions. Thank you.
Mr. Sullivan. Next is Sherry Shorten.
My name is Sherry Shorten from Precinct 4, Splendora, Texas. I'm going to read a statement from my husband this morning since he's unable to attend today's meeting. Regarding agenda item 11A and B, ethics, he states, with regard to the adoption of a sound ethics policy for Montgomery County, I implore the court not to try to reinvent the wheel. Just implement what has already proven to work. Regarding agenda item 20A, administrative control, he states, I would have to side with Commissioners Clark and Nowak in their bid to return county administrative and management structure back under the control of the entire court. In a few meetings back, Craig Doyle said the commissioners were more than welcome to attend department head meetings. However, while the invitation was welcome, I can understand why the commissioners refrain, as if three or more were in attendance of those meetings, it would be seen as a clear violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And that is something that some members of our county leadership have been faced with defending since June of 2016, with not even a good idea when this will be resolved. Further, I am sure all members of the court are very familiar with the needs and direction of this county. I feel that each possesses an individual as well as a personal vantage point of what constituents and communities within their own precincts need, want, and demand in their respective precincts. But the burden of the day-to-day business of the entire county should be the cumulative decision of all elected persons on the court, not just one. If it is something that is going to require substantial county investment in the way of a man hours, material, planning, then indeed these issues should be brought before the entire court so budgetary adjustments can be made to address the project, for as taxpayers we bear the cost countywide through our taxes. As one voting taxpayer, I look to this court to conduct itself in a manner that is beneficial to the overall county with regards to growth, stability, and safety, but is responsible to the individual taxpayers, great or small. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shorten. Those were the only two that we had signed up to speak today on items that are on today's agenda. If there's anyone that did not sign up that would like to speak to an item on the agenda, please step forward now, Mr. Wirtz.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. My name is John Wirtz. I'm Precinct 2. Chairman of Precinct 69, Chair, and Montgomery County Tea Party. I echo what Commissioners and Nowak and Clark's position on more transparency of and through the budget process. As I've said before, and my friend Bill O'Sullivan said in court a couple weeks ago, as well as an editorial in the Courier and Villager recently, we must cut the budget. Commissioners, 5% is a good starting place. I find it hard to believe that you, Judge Doyle, and you, Commissioner Metter, don't even want to consider looking at ways to cut. That's telling. You should take heed that in the last township election, candidates that didn't want to investigate incorporating got swept from office. Commissioner Riley, your precinct 2, our precinct 2, is made up of 55% voters in the Woodlands and surrounding areas who generally vote with the Woodlands. There are other ways to cut than using law enforcement as a scare tactic. On exemptions that we spoke about before, with Harris and Fort Bend County getting a full 20% homestead exemption, is there any reason you cannot implement that? Also, you're looking at this process now. Also, while we're getting a $35,000 exemption for over 65, the effective rate on an average home of about $250,000 is only 14%. I'd like to recommend a change from a flat dollar amount to a percent, including a max of 20%. Finally, Judge, your hit list reported in the Courier is disturbing. It seems to be directed at those who can provide the most oversight of county. And everyone, which includes you, Commissioners Riley and Metter, that voted to give Judge Doyle unilateral powers over the court in the name of efficiency is complicit in this that we're currently witnessing. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address court today? All right, let's move forward. Item 11A, consider and discuss take appropriate action on amending the Code of Ethics and setting deadline for submitting Ethics Committee nominations and approving nominations form. Amy, you want to address that one?
Sure. Let me turn this on. What we have is we need to establish our ethics committee, and we'd like to do that in an open way, and the next court date is on the 14th, but our code of ethics established a 45-day deadline, and we don't have those nominations in yet. So what I'm asking the court to do today is to set a date for people to submit their nominations, and then also a date to implement the ethics committee, which would be at the next court date. We're just a couple days shy.
The date well before the agenda deadline of next Wednesday, so about
my time's
up. By the end of this week. Yeah, your time's up. Let's say by the end of this week, commissioners, if you could submit names for your ethics committee members so we can get them on the agenda for next commissioner's court.
Amy, is there any reason why we couldn't do this? I'm just concerned about trying to talk with people, have them fill out a multi-page form, get it back by the end of this week. Can we not wait and just do this on the 28th of March? Give us a little more time?
It's completely at your discretion.
Yeah, I was just trying to get it done.
I'm just worried. It's a four-page report, trying to get people to fill it out and go through the process.
Right.
And,
also need to receive nominations from your department heads and have time to review those. I just wanted to make sure that we understood that we weren't going to be within the 45 days to establish the committee.
We set a pretty aggressive timeline on that when we did it. So
if
we need to push that back, then that's no problem.
It's completely at the court's discretion when you want to have nominations in and then also when you want to establish your committee. We do have proposed draft forms for, I think BD spoke to you last time, for the committee. Once they're established, then we can start talking about the complaint forms and those types of items which are called for in the code, so we have some things, but those are all promulgated by the committee. So once we need to get that established before we can move forward with those things. Sure. We also are working with HR on the training procedures, and HR has now reviewed the forms that come out of HR. There's the voter cards and things like that that are already in effect and do not require your approval. However, we did upload those. However, when it got transferred under the county judge, we don't have those forms as the backup, but we can submit those forms again. Commissioner, I know you had a question about that.
So we could set March 22nd at 9 a.m. at your office to have these nomination forms turned in, and that would
so
be enough time for backup
yeah.
for the 28th.
Yeah.
I move on that.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Perfect.
Motion carries. Item B. Same thing, Amy.
And those are all in the same one.
So those same forms will
those
come.
Same form.
I'll amend my motion to approve A and B, to include A and B.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Any opposed? No. All right. Item C,
Consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on a resolution supporting school finance reform. And I appreciate your comments, Ms. Bushy, and I can assure you, we enjoy a great working relationship with CISD. You guys do a great job in trying to keep the tax rate down. What we hear every day is that taxpayers are burdened by their appraisals. We're trying to do our part, try to get a homestead exemption that we're looking at. I know you guys are doing a great job. In the past, the state has funded education at a much higher percentage than they do today, which leaves that burden falling back to you guys having to go to the taxpayers. And so my whole goal in this resolution, we talked about when we passed our resolution last month, was to look at a way to address school finance, which is really the big ticket for most people in terms of the heavy burden of their tax payment. And so with that, this is the resolution that I've proposed, Commissioners. Whereas school finance reform is necessary to prevent excessive taxation of Texas families, and whereas it is important that Texas taxpayers receive relief from unnecessary and burdensome property taxes, and whereas Texas public school funding formula is complex and fails to equitably fund public schools, and whereas school districts should be able to take appropriate steps to offer property tax relief in their budget process, and whereas the Texas Supreme Court ruled in May of 2016 that the funding formula was in need of reform, and whereas the Senate Finance Committee called for a complete reconstruction of the Texas public school finance system, and whereas a House budget proposal this session is promising increased education funding in exchange for lessened reliance on recapture, and whereas Montgomery County supports initiatives for school finance reform, although it is not endorsing any specific legislation, nor has it endorsed specific legislation regarding general property tax reform, now therefore be it resolved that the Commissioners' Court of Montgomery County, Texas, calls upon the Texas Legislature to provide significant and meaningful tax relief to Texas individuals, families, and businesses throughout school finance reform. I would entertain a motion, Commissioner.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Judge, I'm going to abstain.
One abstention, motion carries. Four, one abstention. All right. Item 12, we need to defer that, Amy, until after executive session?
Yes, Judge.
Okay. Item 13, Constable Precinct 4, Constable Hayden.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
On it.
Item 13A is consider and approve the MOU between between Immigration Customs Enforcement, local, state, and county law enforcement agencies for the reimbursement of joint operation expenses from the Treasury Forfeiture Fund. This agreement is entered into by Montgomery County Precinct 4, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security, for the purpose of reimbursement of costs incurred by Constable Precinct 4, providing resources to the Joint Operations Task Force. Authorize Kenneth Hayden to endorse the agreement.
Friday, or move, I move.
Second.
Questions or comments?
It is what it says it is. I mean,
this has to do with our participation in the HIDA Task Force, when we have two officers assigned to that task force. So we have to enter an agreement with those agencies.
Accept those funds, yeah.
Okay.
I move.
Second.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Commissioner, item B should have been placed under Constable Precinct 5, and I'll go ahead and present it on their behalf, though. It's consider improved reimbursement of $1,455.80 for stray expenses inquired personally by Precinct 4 Livestock Deputy. The stray fund was maintained by Precinct 5, and this was an outstanding bill that was not paid prior to transferring the stray funds to the sheriff's office.
So this is to reimburse a Precinct 4 deputy?
Correct. He provided the feed for the animals that he had in his care. And
I think Chief Woods was in the process of taking care of this. His untimely passing away has left this undone. I think I'll take care of this out of my budget. Phyllis, I'll take care of it. I'll get with you when this is over and let you know.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Constable. Fire Marshal.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. We're bringing forth an agreement for fire code enforcement and fire origin and cause analysis with the City of Shenandoah. Have Greg Smith is here, City Administrator. If we have any questions, basically we're memorializing what we're already doing. We're assisting them on fire investigations, and from the fire code enforcement side of it, we've looked at it. We don't believe it'll add to our workload. We'll not need to ask for any new positions. They've adopted our revenue schedule, so it'll bring in some additional revenue, and I think we've got that identified, and we've got a review by the county attorney's office and approval by the city council.
Good.
Any questions? I'll be glad to answer.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Item 15, emergency management. Darren.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
I ask you to consider and approve item 15A on your agenda packet as written.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Cody, you did approve and agree with this?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask how we came up with the 134,449.83? That's more than our constables make. Seems to be more than some other. I would really like a list of what, Collin, Galveston, Brazoria, other counties that we compare ourselves to. Does that fall in line? I'll go with your recommendation then.
Hey, item 16, Scott.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
16A, we just ask you to consider and approve a cell phone allowance for three employees at the airport as written. We'd be changing from having county phones that we're paying for to just go to the allowance. So we won't be doing both. It doesn't increase our budget this year, or it won't next year either.
So they were on a county phone that the county was paying for. Now we're going to give them an allowance.
Yes, sir.
It's not a new item during mid-year.
No, sir.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Lone Star Convention Center, Mr. Carpenter.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Item 17A, consider and approve the transfer of funds in the amount of $5,069.49 from line 513-7570, capital outlay machinery and equipment, to line 513-7351, repairs and replacements. These funds will be used to upgrade one of the restroom facilities at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds.
Which restroom is it?
It's the one next to Exhibit Building, one and two. I know of it being 20 years old, and I'm sure that
older than that.
And everything in it basically was original.
That's a lot of it.
And we're at that point. And so we'll be replacing. Really, we're replacing all the fixtures, water closets, and everything in there.
It was pretty rough last time we were out there and looked at that, yeah.
I think your wife commented on that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item 17B, consider and discuss and take appropriate action to replace the existing fire alarm evacuation control panels and all the addressable devices are connected to them at the Lone Star Expo Center, not to exceed $50,000. Please name a funding source. This is the fire alarm system, and the audible, the signal, and everything. It has gone out. Once again, this piece of equipment, or this equipment, is 17 years old, and we've put Band-Aids on it for the last few years, and it just finally went out, and we can't repair it.
Don, this wasn't something foreseeable. It just...
No, sir. It happened in January. We've got the fair coming up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get people out of the building safely.
We have a motion and a second. Can we fund that out of our capital fund, or do we have any of the COs that were still available?
We do, Judge, but I also went and looked at the revenues that the convention center has been booking so far this year because it seemed appropriate since it was on those same, at that same property. They've, whenever we anticipated their revenues last budget hearings, they finished the year higher than we thought they would for last fiscal year, and they're on track to repeat that again this year. So if you'd like, we could recognize additional revenue and user fees at the Civic Center to
Good job, Don.
One question, Don. $50,000 seems a pretty round number. Is this just a estimated, or we're going out for bid on this, or?
Actually, we've got the bids on it, and if my math is correct, we actually got 40, the cost of doing this job is around $42,784. However, we're concerned about some wiring and stuff that we will not know until such time that it's taken, you know, that it's taken apart. We have no plan to spend more than that, but we're just covered in case some of the wiring is bad or some of the devices are bad, just some of the, you know, the devices that these things go into.
So, Ms.
Hopefully
Martin,
it'll
pay
all be
up
great.
To $50,000.
And so we just went up to $50,000 where we'd be able to repair it.
At the okay. Time. Just awfully round, so.
It was.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
It's just a not to exceed number.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank
motion
you.
Motion carried.
Thank you. So.
Purchasing.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Okay. An 18A will take all appropriate action to approve accepting the annual rebate check in the amount of $9,805.78 from Byboard issued by Staples for various departments.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Take all appropriate action to approve the contracts with the following highly qualified provider for government code chapter 2254. Engineering services on Walden Road at Grand Harbor Boulevard with Midtown Engineers LLC for a total maximum sum of $88,590 for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for right-of-way acquisition services as a professional of the personal or professional service for Keenan Cutoff Road Project for Property Acquisition Services, LLC, for a total maximum sum of $554,600 for Precinct 2, Local Government Code 262.024A4.
Move.
Second.
Commissioner, did this go through the Contract Review Committee?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Take all appropriate action to approve the award for Research Forest Drive construction in the amount of $1,812,805.77 to Cooley Construction, LLC for Precinct 2.
Move.
Second. Move. Commissioner, you're going to make a lot of people happy with this one.
And this one was also approved by the committee.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And take all appropriate action to approve the purchase of two 2016 Kenworth dump trucks from Performance Truck for a combined total of $246,217.64 for Precinct 4 under Local Government Code 271.102, and for also the purchase of two 2017 Chevrolet 3500 HD Silverado 4x2 regular cab LWBCC 35903 through Byboard contract from Caldwell Country for a combined total of $51,110 for building maintenance.
Move.
Second.
Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Kelly, County Attorney, Real Property, BD.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. 19A for Precinct 3. Consider and take appropriate action on a road improvement agreement for Burnham Woods Drive. This is a road improvement agreement whereby property owners adjacent Burnham Woods Drive are contributing, I believe, $200,000 towards improvements to that stretch of road in connection with the Rayford Road and SH 99.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Excuse me, under 19B1, consider and take appropriate action on acceptance of Sundown Street from Tram Road to Stagecoach Street, Stagecoach Street in the Holiday Oaks subdivision, Section 5 in the County Road Maintenance System, based upon either prescriptive rights or public dedication.
I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, BD. There is no need for a public hearing. We put that in as a placeholder. And then under Commissioners 3 and 4, y'all must take that.
Jim?
Okay. Consider, discuss, and take action returning court administration management structure back to the entire court. I know we discussed this last week. I've done a little bit more research, and it appears the document was signed. It was a 3-1 vote. The record states that I was here, but I haven't signed it. And I don't know, I recall one morning having an emergency and came in late. I don't know if I wasn't here for that or what it is. And you know, Mr. Canada got up and spoke last week. You know, I don't totally disagree with what he's saying, because I can imagine a department head calling me, and I say, okay, that sounds great, but, and then calling Commissioner Nowak, well, that sounds great, but, well, all the buts may be different. And then you've got four personalities you've got to deal with. And I really don't have any problem with, you know, in answering to the county judge's office. What I do have a real problem with is some of the terminology in this document. And, you know, if I was getting a report back from what this meeting was, I haven't received any kind of, all I get is find out that something's happened and I have no knowledge of it or whatever. So there needs to be some type of, you know, accountability and or reporting as to what's going on to these departments. The problem I've got in this document, a resolution and order, the statements like reorganized departments, county judge at sole discretion, restructuring, creation, deletion, transfer, terminations, layoffs, appointments, new hires, demotions, promotions, and any other employment. Those type of items need to be brought before the whole court. So I make a motion that we return the and do away with this resolution and return it, the department heads back under the whole court.
And I second that. And Judge, I truly believe the court erred in that decision 2 years ago, and even last week. I think that even though it may be burdensome for department heads to have to, you know, figure out how to deal with five different members of the court, our Constitution and our laws were written with that in mind and understanding how, you know, complex local government can be. And to vest all that authority in one person, I think, is a huge mistake. And I would even go so far as to say if the public had a vote, they would vote, you know, overwhelmingly to have the entire court make the decisions. That's why they put five of us up here instead of just one.
Commissioner, I've made it clear that any time there's a major issue that it will come to this court, and it has every time in the past.
Why? I just have to know for my own well-being, why is it so important for you to have sole authority?
Because it's a lot better process. I've done both. This works a lot better. I mean, it's one place. Most of the department heads are right here. They don't have to drive to East County, West County, South County, North County to visit about. I mean, it might not be a problem. It's just an issue. But I think this system works a lot better. I've done both. And I think this works. And I don't think the judge has made any crazy decision that the court doesn't know about first. I mean, it's not like he's going to be reorganizing departments or whatever,
but that's what
set in his office.
That's what the resolution gives
him. Resolution, then. Maybe we can change the word of the resolution. I do know that when there's a major issue, we do discuss it. We all
discuss it.
He brings it to the court. So if the resolution needs to be redone, let's look at the resolution. I can live with that. But
then can we amend the motion to suspend the resolution and come back and bring a new one next court?
Now let's take this to a vote, bring back an amended resolution for us to vote on.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Well, we have a motion and a second on the table right now.
And that is to just rescind?
Rescind this resolution. We can just bring, we can handle it until we bring a new resolution back next time.
Okay. Second.
Any other questions?
Wait, what was that?
The motion is to rescind the resolution and bring another one back. The other option would be to leave this one in place.
Leave it like it is. Draw up a new resolution. I don't care what it says. But they still need a report, or their contact needs to be the county judge's office. Then we can go from there.
Commissioner, we need to, I guess we need to vote on this first.
Yep. So there's a motion and a second to rescind this resolution. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion fails. Now, if you want to bring another resolution to court next time?
Yep.
Certainly that'd be an option.
Good.
Okay.
We'll need to take action on that.
Next item, we need to recess our commissioner's court for executive session under Article 551071 and 551074.
It was item 12A. Ms. McCray can't be here today. She's in Austin for Tax Assessor Collector Day at the legislature. She asked me to do this item. Consider and take appropriate action to declare default to the tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Yodi Americas, LLC, and authorize recapture of taxes. Geodi has not paid their delinquent taxes now. They're delinquent for 2 years. They haven't presented a plan for reopening. They're in default by not having employees, 150 employees. To remind the court, you extended it. Their opportunity to cure on January 24th for 30 days, that has expired. We're asking you to declare them in default and to authorize seeking recapture of the previously abated taxes.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thank you, BD, for all the work. I know it was quite a process.
All right. Citizens' comments. For anyone that would like to make comments on items that are not on today's agenda, same statement applies. I don't think I'll reread it. I think everybody heard it earlier. 3 minutes, if you would, please. You'll state your name and the topic of your comment. I have two people signed up. Travis Everson.
Before I begin, would you allow me to clutter your desk further with some information?
Great. Go ahead. That's fine.
Well, thank you, Judge Doyle and Commissioners, for allowing me to talk this morning. My name is Travis Everson. I'm the Director of Sales for Auction House, and we bring tax bidders to the tax sale. Actually, we were just briefly mentioning your tax sale that's conducted here in Montgomery County on a monthly basis. We bring online bidders to bid against bidders at the courthouse steps, or I believe it's here in this room maybe, in real time for the same property. So in the 84th session in Texas, they passed a bill unanimously allowing Texas counties to conduct their tax sales online if they so choose. Our company has developed a system whereby we bring online bidders to compete in real time against your bidders that are here locally. So we don't alienate any bidders, and anybody here can come and participate. So the increase to competition increases county revenues. In addition to the county revenues gained by the tax sale, the county can charge a $10 fee to any bidder that comes to our site and register with Montgomery County. You can do that twice a year, so it's every 6 months. So if we bring 1,000 bidders, you guys can collect $10,000 just on the fact that these guys have to sign up and be approved to bid. All of our bids are conducted in real time. They're all done by human bid. So it's not like an eBay where somebody can again bid you out at the very end. So everybody places their own bid, and it's all done by human bids. excuse me. Basically, the essential is it's a win-win. This process does not cost the county any money. We bring increased sales. We bring increased marketing. We have GIS information. Our website has any additional information that's provided by the county for these sales or your legal firms is represented on our site. So you can direct the tax office to anybody that has information and say, hey, go to this website. All the information you can seek on this sale is there. Everybody's job function remains the same. We're just bringing an expanded audience to the sale by opening this up to the online bidders. Essentially, what we want to do here today is maybe come back and do a workshop a little bit more formally, show you the website, show how it works, and bring back the tax revenue to Montgomery County. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for coming. Appreciate your presentation. Mr. Yalick.
Good morning. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm here to, and I'm Precinct 3. I'm here to present today's Golden Hammer Award, and I'm going to present it to County Judge Craig Doyle for his employment of Jim Fredericks as Chief of Staff. Mr. Fredericks works as the so-called Chief of Staff. He makes $118,178.27 a year in salary for doing that. What I've seen in looking at a lot of county documents is that what Mr. Fredericks does is not the type of work that you would see as a Chief of Staff. In the past, the county judge has had Chiefs of Staff, and Carr was an outstanding Chief of Staff for many years for Judge Sadler. Jim Strong, while he didn't have that title, performed many of those functions. But they were actually operating departments. They were actually involved in the administration of the county government. What Mr. Fredericks does is largely a public relations type of function. He has a private public relations firm in addition to a private real estate practice that he does. And a lot of what he does, if you look at documents, particularly in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of reporting in the media about the discussions between Ms. Shaw and the county treasurer, Stephanie Davenport. A lot of the functions that it seems like Mr. Fredericks performs is to interfere with the operations of county departments. I heard Judge Doyle, mention earlier today in the meeting that you were considering filling a vacant position with someone who would look at the budget. I hope that the court and Judge Doyle will consider taking part of the salary of Mr. Fredericks and having someone examine the budget closely who is highly qualified to do that. But at this point, I'd like to congratulate Judge Doyle and Mr. Fredericks as well for their employment of someone who basically does little more than interfere with the operations of our county government. And for that reason, I'd like to present the Golden Hammer, and I'll hand it to the clerk. Thank you.
Anyone else that has a comment for the court today? Yes, sir.
Paul Krausen, Precinct 4. If I could put something in y'all's hands, would that be okay?
Sure. Thank you, Paul.
Double count, make sure I had enough there. And I'm just presenting from our neighborhood, Precinct 4, like I said, Allendale Greenbelt neighborhood. We see some progress, and I just wanted to go over that to keep it on folks' minds so that it continues. Dear Commissioner's Court, the flooding is hugely costly to everyone involved everywhere, not just in our neighborhood or not just Montgomery County, but it easily could cost less to predict and prevent it than the costs that are now incurred when it suddenly occurs in an area that has not occurred before. As I personally have been involved in our neighborhood, Allendale, Greenbow, I have reluctantly found myself having to get involved in the county politics. Some parts of this system move so swiftly and silently as to make my head swim that I have observed since I've been coming here and following things. Others, seemingly simple solutions to problems, just stall out. I've observed all this in the short time I've been coming here and taking notes. It stinks to me, and it's highly suspicious. I don't know the details. All I know is what I observe, and all I know is my own life experiences and my neighbors, and that is all any of us really know about anything. We are 4 weeks into phase one of the $110,000 Allendale Drainage Project remediation, but yet, right now, there still aren't any shovels in the ground yet. This map you have shows the two creeks that provide the drainage 2 years ago and how it now has been stopped up by the massive dirt work that's on the property known as Thunder Gun Range. My definition of a creek is that if it is on a map such as this, it is a creek. Jesse, the owner of this property, wants to call it a ditch, but I disagree with him on that definition because a ditch is man-made and follows a road and isn't a natural drainage. These lines on this map were creeks, natural drainage, long before anyone subdivided this property up and started building. These creeks are identified by the state and Army Corps of Engineers a very long time ago. Phase one will take place in this project to restore these creeks on this property. I have volunteered my time, energy, and efforts to bring the landowner into an agreement easily without having to get the county and state law involved to restore the creeks and the drainage that he knowingly diverted. This has cost me a lot of time away from my business, family, and job, time I would like to just spend sitting on the porch drinking coffee, but the mosquitoes are too bad for that. I gladly give because it isn't right what has happened, but I'm not happy with the lack of attention to detail that my neighbors and I have been getting about it. I doubt anyone involved in this project would say or show that I haven't been reasonably patient with the county and Jim Clark, and I want to acknowledge our commissioners addressing this problem.
Mr. Clausen,
is my time up?
Yes, sir, your time
okay.
is expired. I'm sorry.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anyone else that would like to address court today? Pat, commissioners, any other items that you'd like to bring up?
Move adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Court is adjourned.